The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Be seated. We've all been there, it's okay. I've been down that road. We know what these words mean. They are an acknowledgement, a recognition that you have had a similar experience. Alison Porter used these words in a song this past year. It's a song about her recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. And in the song, she acknowledges that even though she's been down this road, she can be a sign of hope that the road goes somewhere. But she can't give you, the listener, the directions. You have to figure out your road. This is really an important part of life. When you raise kids, there's guidance that you can give and experience you can share, but at some point, they choose the roads they take. This is important and necessary because we have choices to make and directions to go all the time. And we learn from the journey. We make wrong turns. We have to backtrack at times. We may stop and ask directions once in a while, and then we get back on the road. In the moments and the days following the crucifixion, Jesus' followers were on an unfamiliar road. They had been filled with hope as they had followed Jesus, as they had listened to his teaching and witnessed the healing that he has done. They were all convinced that he was the one. He was the Messiah. He was the one to redeem Israel. They had been filled with hope and expectation, and now they seem to be walking alone in a thick fog. They're discussing all that happened. They're replaying the events of the past week and months, and they're hoping that in the rehashing they can find clarity that they don't currently have. Now we get this too. When the doctor shares an unexpected diagnosis, we replay those words over and over again. If you've witnessed an accident, you replay those moments over and over again right before impact happens. When we're grieving, we want to share memories and stories of the one we've lost. And it feels like the more that we tell those stories, the more we relive the experiences, the more normal the events can become. And it's in the midst of the replaying of these events that Jesus comes alongside the two people on the road to Emmaus. Jesus, whom they cannot recognize, asks what they're talking about. They stop for a moment, and Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" To say it another way, Cleopas is asking Jesus, "What rock have you been hiding under? Everyone's talking about this. How can you not know?" But Jesus, who they still cannot recognize, simply asks, "What things?" Jesus gives them the space to tell him the story, to hear his own story as his friends would tell it. They say he was a prophet mighty in word and deed before God. He was handed over by the chief priests and leaders to be crucified. How they had been filled with hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. And finally, the astonishment of the day's events when the women went to the tomb, were greeted by angels, and were told that he was alive. Jesus seems to have heard enough. And his words had to sting. He says, "Oh, how foolish you are." Now, if you were from the South, you'd probably have somebody say to you, "Well, bless your heart." Or the best way I've ever heard that said is, "Well, bless your pea pumpkin gizzard." Right? You know that that's not a nice thing when somebody says that to you? Bless your heart. You don't know what's going on. Then Jesus seems to tell the whole story again, from Moses to the prophets, explaining all that was said about him. And when they finally approached Emmaus, Jesus seemed to be continuing on, but they invite him to stay because the day is almost over. And so it's at the table when Jesus blesses, breaks, and gives the bread that their eyes are finally opened. But as soon as they can see Jesus disappears. Again, they're left alone to understand the events that had happened to them that day. How their hearts had burned as Jesus opened up the scripture for them. So they return to tell the news to the others, and they hear how the Lord had appeared to Simon, and they tell those gathered what happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known in the breaking of the bread. This journey, this walk to Emmaus, has the shape of a worship service. We gather to confess the ways that we have been unable to see Christ or follow Christ in our lives. We hear in the words of Scripture how Christ meets us for fellowship or for healing or to teach us. We are given the opportunity for those words to move us in some ways. We share Christ's body and blood at the table, the place where Christ promises to meet us, the place where Jesus is made fully known. And then we're sent out to share this journey that we've been on with others, not to tell them which road to take, but to help them see how Jesus is walking with them on their own road, how we are walking with them on their own road, and to invite them to take this journey with us when we come and gather for worship again. So when you look in your bulletin on Sunday morning, the entire shape of our worship service is called liturgy. But liturgy doesn't really tell you much about it other than it's the shape of worship that somebody probably told you at some point what that word means. But what liturgy literally means is that the work of the people. It's the work of the people. So when we gather to worship, we acknowledge that there's work to be done. We recognize that we've fallen short in hearing and following Jesus. We recognize that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We recognize that we don't fully understand what following Jesus truly means. We hear God's word proclaimed as correction or comfort or teaching. We hear God's invitation to follow and to love. We hear God's promise to walk with us on our roads. So we respond with words of faith and trust and hope. We respond with our gifts that recognize that all that God has given to us. We respond by lifting up all those in need of God's healing and mercy through our prayers. And then we come to the table. We eat. We eat so that our eyes may be opened and we may fully see Jesus. We eat to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. We eat our fill of the fullness of Christ, knowing that we will come hungry again to this meal, yearning to see Jesus again. And finally, we are sent to speak of the work we have done. We are sent to share how Jesus' road and our road took a parallel path. We are sent to share how Jesus has been made known to us. So when you leave worship, you can feel both exhausted and energized. When you leave worship, you can feel hope and apprehension. When you leave worship, you leave with the promise that Jesus walks with you on your road. Jesus has been down this road. Jesus has died, has descended to hell, has been raised, so that there is no place that we can go that he hasn't already been. There's no place where our hearts can't burn and our eyes can't be opened. There is no place without Jesus. So when we gather together, when we break bread together, Jesus is made known in our midst. Amen.